Twice as many people would pick their phone over their lunch if they were forced to choose. When we're spending time on social media, we're like, either we're looking toward the past, or we're always expecting, so we're looking toward the future and we're not anchored anymore in the present. Hi beautiful souls, and welcome to this new episode of the Positive Switch podcast. Today I am very excited to talk about a very actual topic, a very current topic that's been a bit more brought into the light by a recent documentary that came out on Netflix, which is called The Social Dilemma. This documentary focuses on all the different aspects of what social media has done over the last decade, how it affects people socially and mentally, and all the drawbacks of using social media in general and mobile phones, how the advertisement there influences us and influences our behavior, and if it really connects us or rather disconnects us. And yeah, I just wanted to give you some thoughts on this topic. I think it's really interesting, and I've definitely felt the influence of mobile phones and social media in my life ever since I started using it until now. And there definitely are phases where I can consciously realize that I'm getting kind of addicted to it, and phases where I feel like I'm not depending on it, and I could go for weeks without using my phones. And yeah, this really varies depending on my mood, on my mindset, and because of course, like, life just happens and every day is a new journey. And so sometimes we might feel more emotional, and yeah, we might feel more tempted to be constantly on our phone to kind of, maybe to suppress some of those emotions. So that's why it's a really important topic, and I just want to raise as much awareness as I can on this topic today. So to give you a little background, I wasn't born with mobile phones. Like, I was born in 1994, and then I don't know, mobile phones came out later, maybe 10 years later. I don't even remember when it came out, but like, my first mobile phone, I think it was a Samsung. It was one that you can like clap, and I think I was like 15 when I first got this mobile phone, which my sister gave to me. So I think it's an extraordinary invention. It's great for so many things. I think it's changed many people's lives. It's changed technology just in general, and it's just allowed us to achieve so many more things, and it's very practical in different aspects of our lives, and it could be truly magical, but it can also has its drawbacks. And I think in this documentary, in The Social Dilemma, those drawbacks are really highlighted. At some point, I feel that the documentary is a bit biased regarding the current situation, but I think that overall the documentary gives a really good bigger picture of how social media affect us on a daily basis. So basically what they explain in this documentary is that depending on where we live on the planet, we aren't shown the same information, and the information that we're given is not necessarily true. And whether this applies or not in real life, I think that you should always question all the information that you're being given. I think that you should question what you already learned, Because sometimes what you thought to be true is not true, and you have to unlearn it so that you can learn a new reality. That was, for example, what happened to me with the animal industry, the animal farming. And when I realized by watching Earthlings, and especially The Best Speech You Will Ever Hear by Gary Yourofsky, I realized that I had been lied to, not only by my parents and just physical people, but also through advertisement and TV and internet. Everything I had seen was just a bunch of lies, and it wasn't reflecting the truth about how we were treating animals. Of course, I probably knew that animals were being killed for food, but I might have thought that they were euthanized, and when I discovered the truth, it was an awful truth. And at that point, I realized that I had to do a lot of work regarding all the conditioning that had been brought into my life, all the false information that I had become. So please make sure to question everything, and yeah, so that you can be really aware and make informed decisions. So it's a tool, I would say, and it's really well depicted in the movie as well. It's a tool that can be used to unite, but also to divide people. And especially when mobile phones and social media in general come in the hands of some governments who want to achieve precise goals, then you can see how social media and basically delivering a specific information to people can really divide the population. And yeah, like I said, more than ever, we have to question everything, every single information we're given, especially when it comes from, let's say, the official media, because what we consider to be official might not necessarily mean that it's the only version of something, that it's the only version and the only truth. So yeah, just build your way around it and look for different sources of information when you have the chance. But regarding the information that that social media and the internet gives us and Google gives us, which is sometimes not necessarily true, I think when it comes to science, for example, there is definitely some evidence that can't be contradicted. And for example, when we look at the nutrition science, I think that for some of us, it might even be obvious, because when we have experienced some diseases, then we realize that the consumption of animal products is not good for us, that it has basically more drawbacks as any advantages. I mean, I don't see any advantages to eating animals, because it's not ethical and it doesn't bring anything good in my body, it doesn't bring anything good in my life, it doesn't align with my values, and it just makes me a horrible person to be financing the death of defenseless animals who've done nothing wrong to us. And we basically have the chance and the possibility to choose to eat plant-based foods, which are so much more beneficial to us and to our health and to our planet. So yeah, I'd rather go for this, and so that I can live with myself for the rest of my life. So yeah, this science is evidence-based. Go and do your research. I would highly recommend this book by the Dr. Michael Greger, How to Survive a Pandemic, How Not to Die, and How Not to Diet by the same author. And generally check out his website, nutritionfacts.org, and Nutrition Facts on YouTube. That's hardcore based, as an evidence-based science. All right. Exactly. And there's no doubt also about the animal farming's role in creating pandemics, which is why I would highly recommend this book. I think there's no doubt about the cruelty that's inherent in animals farming, because no matter how animals were raised, they will end up in a slaughterhouse with their throats slit against their will. And all animals, whether human or whether we're human animals or non-human animals, we all strive to live, to survive, and to live free and happy. And that's a right that shouldn't be taken away from anyone. But coming back to the social media and mobile phones, I think that sometimes it can be hard to realize the dangers of social media and mobile phones, because it basically you don't have a visible, like obvious, instantaneous effect. You don't really see how it affects you right now at the moment where you're using it. But what we can see, and there are always more studies about it, and as it is shown in the documentary as well, what is shown and what's obvious is that there is this exponentially growing rates of anxiety, depression, and suicides. And that's also especially growing among teenagers who have been using mobile phones like at such an early age as maybe, I don't know, 5 years old. Like I've seen toddlers with a mobile phone in their hands, and I'm thinking like, what is wrong with the parents? Like, how would you even come to the idea, get the idea of putting a phone in the hands of a baby or a toddler? And yeah, it's just horrendous when we look at those graphs, like the one in the documentary, and realize that teenagers are committing suicide because of all the pressure that they receive through social media, this feeling of not being good enough or of not being worthy of someone, and having the feeling that they should look like someone or be as successful as someone, and also the definition of success, which is so like modified, and yeah, it's just there is so much pressure right now on the shoulders of teenagers who spend a awful lot of time on social media, and we should definitely watch out for this. We should definitely pay attention. If you're a parent and you're watching this or hearing this, please watch out for your children and be really mindful of the use that you want to give out of mobile phones to your children. So we have to definitely raise awareness about this. We have the responsibility, I think, to educate people about this, and especially teenagers, so that we can avoid some severe damage. And also, don't get me wrong, I use social media. I'm very happy that I have the chance right now to be using social media so that I can reach out to people and raise awareness about animal farming, which is very dear to my heart. It's an honor, it's a privilege that I can do this. But even I sometimes have to set limits to myself, like I explained at the beginning of this episode. I sometimes find myself realizing consciously that I'm becoming more addicted to my phone and to social media, and therefore I also have to resort to some tips that I can give you later on at the end of this podcast, of this episode, to kind of disconnect, like disconnect from this addiction, like take a step back and become less to no not addicted at all. In my eyes, I think that social media and just internet in general, mobile phones disconnect us more than they connect us. When I was little, I can clearly remember having more social contact in general to people, not being afraid of being addressed by someone on the street, being approached by someone on the street. I was probably also more spontaneous about going toward people and establishing a contact. And now I can, like, it's so obvious in our everyday life that you see people like almost every time, at least once in a day, you see someone walking on the street, like facing down on their phone and not looking forward, and like maybe like stepping on something and falling because they're not concentrated at all. And it's this particularity of mobile phones that we could be anywhere in this bubble, like anywhere on the web, but we're not physically here in the present moment. And this is also very dangerous, because I think that this has a huge role in creating anxiety and stress and depression, because we are so much more focusing on something that's virtual, that's not real, that's an illusion, most of what we are shown. And of course, I also, I am aware and honest about the fact that I might not show all the aspects of my life on social media, because we want to show things that are positive and things that can inspire people. But sometimes I do realize that it's important to show the kind of flawed aspects of my life, and show people truthfully that not everything is all right and not everything runs like super smoothly. Because it's important to me to show that true aspect of my life. But for teenagers who are still like growing and developing and trying to find themselves, and they don't know who they are yet, I think that social media can be like almost a weapon, and it can truly harm them if they think that what they're receiving is the reality and the only reality. And if it makes them think that they have to strive for this reality. And why is it addictive? Because like many foods that we know, using mobile phones and social media releases dopamine. It's like this reward effect for your brain. And so you always want more, and you always have the desire to look on your phone. And like, it's this I think it's, for me, it's, we could even describe it as a mental disorder. Like, we've become so addicted to it, and it happened to me sometimes that we have to look on our phone, like, even though we're not going to look for any information or something, we just want like to tap on it, like look at the time, or just something, like a tick, like something you're not even controlling. And we're always expecting notifications, and we have the feeling that if we're not checking, we're missing out on something. And so we basically have the need to be almost constantly on it. And what was really interesting and almost and scary, I have to say, there was a Times poll which revealed that 1 in 4 people admitted checking their phone every 30 minutes. 1 in 5 people admitted checking their phone every 10 minutes. And a third admitted that being without their phone makes them feel really anxious. So it's so addictive to the point that we are not mindful anymore. We are not peaceful anymore when we're not when we don't have our phones at hand. We feel almost, what's the word? Not desperate, but like helpless if we don't have it with us. And this really scares me, the thought of this, that there are people who cannot think about like being 1 second without their phone and that it makes them anxious. I think that we should really like care about this and pay attention to this. And so it's kind of a like a sustenance in the way that it feeds you all the time. Like it feeds you with advertisement, it feeds you with news and notes and nonsense and fake news. And that's to the point that twice as many people, so from this a third of those people, twice as many people would pick their phone over their lunch if they were forced to choose. So we have here the situation where we have one thing that's like a basic survival need, like a fundamental need that we have to fulfill so that we can survive, and a phone, like which people have lived without for generations, for I don't know, like thousands of years. And people would choose this thing over what makes them survive. So it's kind of crazy to see these facts and the results of such polls and studies. And 75% of the 25 to 29 years old sleep with their phone. So I don't know if I think they meant in this sentence that they sleep with their phone on because they're scared to, yeah, like miss out on something, on some news. I don't know. Personally, I have my phone on airplane mode. We have this rule with my boyfriend that at 8 p.m., we don't use our phone, like we don't go on social media anymore. And we try not to watch anything past that time. We'd rather read something because we don't want to be exposed too much to that blue light. And yeah, and then when we wake up, I'm sticking to it. Like I've established this rule beginning of this week. And that's why I'm coming up to now that I wanted to share with you, like things that I have established for my own good so that I don't develop anxiety or depression like it can happen to some people. I don't want to fall into the trap of social media of really expecting things all the time. And this is also so consuming. It's consuming your energy, it's consuming your attention. I think that it wouldn't surprise me if after many hours spent on this shit and consuming all this nonsense that our brains are basically like washed out and like just tired and exhausted, because this takes just all our energy. And I think that my body in general, I'd like to say, is a temple, and I want to take the measures that I have to kind of protect myself from the drawbacks that social media and mobile phones can have. So what I do, like I explained, past 8 p.m., we don't go on our phones anymore. And then I don't go on social media, don't use my phone when I wake up until 7 a.m. And that's something that I want to stick to. Now, recently, this week, I've also established, like, if you go in your, what is it called? I think it's screen time part of the settings on your iPhone, at least. You can limit the use of the apps. You have different categories, so you can limit the use of social media, you can limit the use of just messaging apps. And I find it to be really practical. Now I've set, I think, I set just 1 hour maximum of use of social media for every day. Because like, for example, today, okay, that's a bit different. I have to use different platforms because I'm going to publish the podcast episode on YouTube, on Anchor, on the podcast platform. But that probably won't be an hour. Yeah, other things that I like to do and that we like to do with Mark as well. If you're on vacation, like if you're going somewhere where like you know you can still contact people by another mean, or you're going camping, for example. Well, that's a time that I would take for myself and where I would just go and travel without my mobile phone, or like without using it. I would have it by my side just basically for setting an alarm clock or something and checking the time, but I wouldn't go on social media. And I think that sometimes those kind of breaks can be really critical as well, to come back to ourselves, to become mindful again, and to be really basically in the present. Because I feel like when we're spending time on social media, we're like either we're looking toward the past, or we're always expecting, so we're looking toward the future and we're not anchored anymore in the present. But yeah, I think that's most of what I had to say on these topics. Please like inform yourself about this and watch The Social Dilemma on Netflix. I will leave the link down below in the description box or in the show notes. And make sure to also leave a comment on YouTube if you watch this. Leave a review on any podcast platform if you can. Leave a little star or something, just to let me know that this content is bringing value into your life, that it's interesting, it's feeding you in a good way, and it's raising awareness. So yeah, I would be very, very thankful for this. Until then, I wish you a beautiful rest of your day, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye.